Psalm 98. All right, so today our lesson, we're not in our deeper series today. I just want to bring a lesson this morning on a topic that somebody shared with me recently, and I thought it was really good. It helped me, and I think it'll be a help to all of us as well. And that topic that I want to discuss today is choosing worship over stress. And how many of you experience a little added heaping on your plate at Christmas time? You know what I'm talking about, especially? Like, it just seems like it piles on for lots of different reasons. And so I just want to talk about that today. I think it would be good to talk about this two or three times a year, actually. But let's read Psalm 98. And that's the reason we've come today is to fix our hearts toward worship, right? The reason we gather is to break away from care, the cares of the world, to break away from some of the pressures that we face, and just to enjoy our time in the Lord, enjoy our time with each other. And today's a special day for that. We have a lot of great things planned this morning. I'm looking forward to the kids being up here a little bit later. Again, I said it a minute ago, but I want to thank Ken for constructing this awesome manger here. And we're looking forward to this part of the service a little bit later on. And he made the one last year, too, and I told him this was a serious upgrade from last year. And it's pretty cool. But he broke it on the way in, so if you came by, we were doing quick repair job as we came in today. But let's read together Psalm 98. And I'd like to read... let's read the whole psalm together, and let's read it out loud. Ready? Is everybody there? I want to make sure that you've got there, you've got your place there. We'll read Psalm 98, and let's sing it with, let's say it. If you want to sing it, go ahead, but we'll say it. We'll read it together with emotion, enthusiasm that it deserves. Ready? Begin. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Say it again. Let's do that one again. Ready? Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Continue. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Ready? Verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Ready? Verse 7. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods, ready? Oh, we got to try that again. Ready? Verse number 8. Let the floods. Some of you didn't do it, you know. It's in the script, but you're like, well, I'm not the floods. Okay, here we go. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Isn't that awesome? What a blessing. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we look at your truth this morning to be encouraged. And Lord, for you to minister to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless all that we're going to do today, the singing and the preaching and this teaching that goes on. We need your presence. We need your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So a lot of people will tell you things about managing stress and dealing with it. There are, how many of you have noticed in life that you just, people say, I want to live a stress-free life. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Okay, of course you have. And what's the problem with that? It's impossible, right? It doesn't happen. In fact, God created us to have to deal with and manage pressures. And stress is the modern word for that, but people have been dealing with this throughout all of history. So really, there are some negative stresses in our life, and there's some positives in our life as well. Wouldn't you agree with that? What's a positive stress in your life? That it's just, you got to deal with it. It's a stress that weighs on you. You must deal with it, but it weighs on you. But you wouldn't trade it for anything. What's that? Oh, well, I knew that was going to be the first one. What was it? Your kids. It's heavy. It weighs on you, right? What's that? I said you wouldn't trade them. Okay. You had to go there. All right. Children will be a blessing and a source of, I hate to say stress, but it is the buzzword. It's the word we're all familiar with. And it's a weight. It's something that we deal with and we carry. What's another positive stress in our lives? Something. Sorry? What? Finances. They can be a positive and a negative, right? For sure. The money. And that tends to affect us even more. Sometimes there's pressures put on us to have a... I just want to encourage you, don't go into debt for some kind of Christmas experience for your kids, okay? Just don't do that. And people all across America this year will go into debt for plastic, and don't do that. There's so much more that we can give our children than just stuff. So, yeah, finances can do it. Any other things that are positive stresses in our lives? Your spouse, all your relationships, really. Ken's shaking his head back there. He's like, he thought he lifted the load and brought joy and gladness into your life. And you're like, stress. Work, your job, and there's pressures there, but you got to have it. And you be thankful for it, right? Be thankful for what we have. Your education, things like that. It's an inescapable kind of a thing. Then there can be some negatives that we bring into our lives. Negative stress. What would those be? Things that are negative stress factors. They don't even have to be there. Huh? I hear somebody say one? No? Worry? Well, that's very true. We worry about things. What else? Yep. That's right. Yeah, that's a really good one. The unexpected events that come in, something comes up and you didn't know you were going to have to deal with it. Could be financial, could be family issue. There's something just thrown at you out of the blue, not expecting. What else? What's that? Deadlines. Yeah, deadlines that come in. We could have made some bad decisions that are bringing stress into our lives, right? A lot of times we get it, what happens is we overextend ourselves, right? We get overextended in financial areas. We get overextended, what? In our commitments. I was going to say that. We get overextended in our commitments. We feel like, I have to do this for this person and that person, and we can become overcommitted with that. So all of these things, and then we think about, so the first 5 minutes here as we talk, it's just getting gloomier and gloomier, right? You're all thinking like, oh my goodness, I got a lot of stress in my life, and you just reminded me of it all. But, and then we think of how it affects us. You tell me, how does stress affect us? What's it do to us if we're not balancing it God's way? Again, we're going to get to the good part, choosing worship over stress. So how do our stresses affect us? Okay. That's a big one, we become short-tempered. I know with me, that's the biggest one, okay? If I get stressed out about something, it's like, snap. I'm not going to go on a tirade, but I become short. You feel that pressure and it goes out. So we become short-tempered. What else happens? Yeah, so some people are fighting through the stress and then all of a sudden they say, forget it, but just forget it. And they go into some kind of depression through it. Yeah, absolutely. What were you going to say? You don't sleep. It's physical. It becomes very physical. And then what happens is we lose sleep, which affects us in all kinds of other ways as well. Right? I mean, we're familiar with this. We all deal with this. So it's God's plan. It's God's plan for us to manage these circumstances and things in our lives, but is it God's plan for us to be, as the world would say, stressed out? No, of course not. How many of us find ourselves living that way, though? Yeah, we do. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I think one of the big things that affects us in our society today is how little downtime that we have. You think about it. Even in our downtime, we are not fully disengaged, are we? Right? We have a constant barrage of media. We're just never disengaged. Somebody that was, I'm just sharing some notes that someone shared with me recently on this. They had done a study of Jesus and the apostles. And one of the interesting things that they noted, you remember that throughout Jesus' life, he would make trips from Galilee to Jerusalem. You remember that? He would do that a couple of times a year. He'd make those trips. Do you know, I didn't know this, but if you added up all the time they spent walking, just walking, because that's what they did, right? They didn't have any other way to get there. They would just walk. Do you know, this blew my mind, do you know how much of their year was spent just walking from one place to the other in those, not to mention going to the, you know, the market or any of that, just the traveling walking. Anybody want to hazard a guess how much time was spent? Not 75%. Yeah, you're very, very close. It was 9 weeks. 9 weeks of the year was spent walking. Isn't that interesting? The Apostle Paul, same thing. Huge chunks of time that were spent. What was he doing? Traveling from this place to that place. Boy, we live in a very different kind of a place, don't we? Do you remember, I don't know if we were having a conversation or if it was when Brother Alan shared this when he was talking with us, but they do a lot of their discipleship. They do a lot of their discipleship with their with the believers there and the ministry leaders while they're walking. Did he share that as a group, or do you remember that? Yeah, he did. He said they would just walk, and he says it's amazing how much great conversation could take place as they simply walk. Because in that culture, in that society, it's the same thing. So it's interesting to think that you and I, we don't have a lot of time in our lives, and we have to be more intentional about that. And just to think of something very simple that says, you know what? Go take a walk. Right? I mean, sometimes the things that God gives us, I'm going to give you some great spiritual things from the Bible, but sometimes there are some super practical things that God has given us as people that will tremendously take a load off of us. Things like, get a good night's sleep. How many of you have ever, some people that are in like a business or a high pressure environment, it's almost like the less you sleep, the higher people think of you. You know, I used to listen to a guy on the radio, and he'd be like, oh, you know, I just get 4 hours of sleep and then I go and get this done and get that done. Well, God didn't create us. I mean, there are people that are statistical anomalies that just don't need as much sleep, but God's created us to get away, to sleep. Just simple practical things in our lives that can help us. Take a walk, take a nap, get a good night's sleep, eat good food, right? All of these things that we just take for granted. And we want, you know, well, give us the secret. What's the secret? So, as we think about all of this, I will now shift toward the spiritual element here. And that is what we just read in Psalm 98. Sometimes you and I, when we find ourselves, and if you find yourself in these next weeks, just overwhelmed, listen, first of all, just take time to worship God. Just take time to worship God. You see, and worship is a choice, right? It's a choice. It's a decision that we make. As you read through the Psalms, you'll find all kinds of instances where David is dealing with a significant trial, or one of the other psalmists is dealing with a heavy load in their life, and they make a conscious decision in that moment. They say, I will worship. This is the day that the Lord hath made. How's it finish? We what? We will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Worship is a conscious choice. He says here in verse number 1 of Psalm 98, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. We all understand that is singing all that is involved in worship? Yes or no? No, of course not. Can you sing? Let's ask this. Can you sing to the Lord? Well, can you sing a song without worshiping? Of course you can. You could do that today. You can sing without worshiping. But can I submit to you this? You cannot worship unless you can sing to the Lord. Throughout the Bible, those who are true worshipers of God, it comes out in song. It comes out in expression. And God has truly given us, listen, I want to encourage you, with all of the musical options that you have to bring into your life, there is so much worship music available to us today as Christians. I mean, just so much. There's very little reason to even personally, and I'm not saying don't listen to anything else, but I am saying it's just so broad, the types of music you can listen to give praise and glory to God. And in the midst of our pressures, in the midst of our stress, we have to make a choice that says worship. I don't know what it is for you, but I can think of times in my life where I have just been running hard, just a lot of pressure, a lot of things I don't necessarily say to other people, and you get to almost like a breaking point sometimes. And sometimes it's been in those moments that I've taken my phone out, I've gone to my playlist, or I've gone on my Spotify list, and I've played a song, or I just sang a song that I remembered. But there have been songs in my car, man, if you pulled up, it's a good thing I wasn't on, you know, a multi-lane highway, because if you pulled up next to me, you would have been like, what is going on in that car right there? And some of you are smirking because you've done the very same thing. And it's like, man, the volume just gets cranked and you're just singing and maybe you're crying and just, there's something about saying, God, I cannot do this, but you are so much bigger. You are so much more powerful. And I don't even know what you're going to do about this situation, but I'm just going to praise you and glorify you that you're in my life. That you're in my life. And I love it says here, and that's why I love to learn new songs too, and you should as well. Never become one of those old crusty Christians who says, why do we got to sing a new song? The ones we've been singing are just fine. Because a new song is a new opportunity for us to think about the words and in a new way give praise to the Lord. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Well, you know, if you study that out, that means... No, it means sing a new song. There were paid musicians in the court of David. Do you realize that? Asaph was the chief of them. Paid musicians, their job was to write, guess what? New music, new songs. There's something about singing a new song. Have you ever found that sometimes when you sing a new song, it causes you to stop and think about the words a little bit more? And then when we sing the old songs, we have to remember, wait a minute, what am I actually singing about? What is this? How am I praising the Lord here? Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. We have to choose to worship. Worship him. And then, I don't know how many of you have experienced this, but in those moments, it's not just something spiritual that happens, but I've found it to be physically restorative as well. You know what I'm talking about? Am I the only crazy one here about that? But like, if you come to that point and you truly worship the Lord from the midst of your hardship and your difficulty, it's just you physically are strengthened and energized. So, worship, of course, is for Him, but one of the wonderful things about our God is He has created it. He has created us in such a way that when we give Him maximum glory, it's also for our benefit as well. He didn't have to do that, but He does it for us. That's why it's so sad to see people think that worship means... You see it, especially around Easter in some places and some alternate expressions of Christianity where people will abuse their bodies and hurt themselves and crawl on broken glass or put themselves temporarily on a cross, all thinking, if I, you know, bring this pain into my life, then I will give that to the Lord. The Lord calls for us to worship Him in joy and gladness, with song and celebration. He wants we bring a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. So choose to worship in the midst of stress. But then also, another thing, this is a little bit more, this is more the battle in the mind, because you know that spiritual warfare that you deal with and that I deal with, it's not about, you know, there aren't horned demons running along, you know, possessing our friends and family members, trying, you know, we don't see that. I'm not saying that that supernatural part doesn't exist. There's truly that element of it. But primarily, where do Satan and the demons attack us? In our mind, in our heart, in our thoughts, and in our feelings. That's how they attacked Adam and Eve. They questioned the word of God and put doubt in their mind. Boy, I heard this lesson recently and I was like, man, I needed this. This is so good, and I want to share it with you all. But turn with me to just a few pages back to Psalm 42. Because the second point here, there's 11 points. I don't intend to get through all of them or anything. I'm just going to stop when we get to the end, wherever we're at. But Psalm 42, let's go there. So the second point is, if the first point is worship, in the midst of your stress, worship, and I'd encourage you to jot them down on your phone or write a note or something and come back to this throughout the Christmas season. The first point is worship. The second point would be this. You have to choose how you're going to respond. You have to make a conscious choice. When you feel the weight, when you feel the pressure, you must make a choice of how you're going to respond. I want you to notice in Psalm 42, I wasn't going to read the first verses, but they're wonderful verses. Let's read them. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, look at the state of his heart. Look at the stress, the pressure, what he's dealing with. My tears have been my meat day and night. What's he saying right there? That's a poetic way to say what? I'm crying night and day, but what else is he saying? He says, I'm crying night and day, but what else is being said in that poetry? Yeah, he's not eating. He's not eating. He's fasting, either because he's completely lost his appetite or because he's just fasting and seeking after God. Either way, rather than eating food, he's just been crying for days. While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He's got people around him. And basically they're saying, oh, you think you're something? You think you're some, if you'll give me liberty here, you think you're some great Christian or whatever? What's God doing for you? What's God done for you in your life? And they're just piling up on him. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. In other words, this is what's happened in his life. He's saying, I remember when I used to have the joy of the Lord. I remember when I used to be singing and, hey, let's go to the temple, let's worship, let's praise. I remember when I was doing all of those things, and now look at me. What kind of Christian am I now? Anybody ever felt like that before? That's what the devil wants to do. The devil is a master of kicking you while you're down and saying, hey, there's no point in you even coming back because you've really failed at this whole Christian thing anyway. But praise the Lord, we're not accepted because of what we do, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And now look at this, though. David has learned something, because David has walked with the Lord for a long time. And he's learned a discipline in his life. Notice what he does in verse number 5. Read verse number 5, and then you tell me what he does. Somehow he's trained himself to do this. The Spirit leads him to do this over and over again. You reading verse 5, what is he doing? He's resisting, absolutely. What's he doing? He's questioning himself. Yeah. So something came into your life and you did the same thing as David. You say, wait a minute, how am I going to respond to this? So in the simplest terms, what is David doing here? In the very, very simplest terms, he's talking to himself. And they think I'm crazy. My dad's talked to himself forever. You watch him walking around and just like, just saying stuff, you know? I do the very same thing. My dad did the same thing. Just watch him sometime from a distance. Just watch, you know? And you'll see him make like faces, like he's having a conversation, you know? Like working something out. So, and you're looking, who does that? The question isn't, you know, do you talk to yourself? But the question is, what do you say to yourself? Right? Because whether you're as, you know, weird about it as me, or Charlie, apparently, the fact of the matter is, all of us, we have those conversations that go on inside of us, right? In your mind, in your heart. You play it out. The question is, are you saying things to yourself that God is saying to you? Are you echoing Christ's words to you of love and acceptance and strength and power? Or are you repeating the lies that the devil has put in your mind of defeat, failure, inadequacy, people won't accept me, all of these things? They don't come from God. God deals in light. The devil deals in darkness and doubt. God is light and truth. The devil is darkness, doubt, fear. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? Sound mind. You guys know that scripture. That's awesome. We know it. So do we go back to it? We have to choose our response. We have to learn in our life. Wait a minute. David says, okay, soul, are you listening, soul? I've got something to say to you, soul. You tell me. Give me a good reason why you are so cast down. Tell me why you're acting this way. Tell me why you're feeling this way. And then he gives himself the answer. He points his finger right at his own soul and he says, hey, hope thou in God. He's got to preach to himself. I can see him. He takes a minute. David takes a minute there, and he just looks at himself and he says, why are you feeling this way? What God, you have God in your life. You need to hope in Him. Now, it's not hoping in how He might work out the situation. It's not hoping that, I just hope it turns out this way. We all kind of like, I've heard it put this way, we all kind of write out a script of how we want things in our life to go, don't we? You might not sit down and put it on paper, but in your mind, you've got an idea that, well, this is going to happen, and then this is how I'm going to get through it. But does God reveal His script to us beforehand? He doesn't tell us how He's going to work it out, but He does say that we can hope in Him, that He will work for His glory and for our good. He says, soul. So you and I, we have to choose how we're going to respond. And you know what? Listen, for husbands and wives that are here, spouses that are here, we have the opportunity to help each other, right? We have the opportunity to help each other, and we can see when, listen, how many of you know in a marriage, when your spouse is stressed out, it stresses you out? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just like, that happens, like, oh boy. Same thing, by the way. By the way, that happens in a lot of relationships. Like at work, that can happen too. You know, there's a lot of stress around you, boy, you can start to feel that too. But even then, you have the option, if your spouse is dealing with that, you have the ability to encouragingly speak to them in the same way. Instead of just saying, oh, it's almost like sometimes we're like, oh, I've got my own stuff to deal with, and now I've got to deal with your stress too. Right? Or we can say, you know what? Why are we cast down, as Psalm 42 says? Hope in God. Hope in God. Okay, we've got to choose the response. Then I want to say this next one, thirdly, it's in this passage, and we've already talked about it, and so I don't even need to really emphasize the point anymore, but just to give it to you, remember God's past goodness, right? Remember, that's what was just shared with us, that Wendy said she remembered, she's dealing with a difficult situation right now, and she's looking back and remembering that, wait a minute, God did this before, I've been through this before, God has never been unfaithful. Is there anybody here that could say, God has been unfaithful to me? No, God is never unfaithful. Again, his plan may be different than the script we would have written, but he's not unfaithful. So, first of all, remember, if we're, these points this morning is worship, choose how you will respond, remember God's past goodness. Here's a fourth thought on this. Give thanks for the opportunities that your stress presents for others. That one I had to think about for a minute. What do I mean by that? I mean, as a father, I have to bear weight and stress and responsibility for my family. But who is that for? It's for them. Like, I'm called in leadership, I'm called to bear the weight for my wife, for my kids, and to lead my home. So I could let it get all stressed out about it, or I could say, Lord, thank you for these people that you put in my life. And thank you for the opportunity to bear this burden for someone else. But it's not just in families, it's in our other relationships. Very often when you're called to carry a burden, could be in your job, if you feel this pressure, often you are carrying that pressure for the benefit of your team members at your job. Right? And if we can start to think of things as we are like Christ, servants, that Christ came and he took on all the weight that we had to carry for us and for our good. What am I on? Fifthly, maybe now? Fifthly, that's a hard word for me to say. Point five, thought number five, would be ask for wisdom. Right? James 1:5. If any of you, James 1:5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Do you ever catch yourself spending hours trying to figure out a solution and then stopping and realizing what? I never spoke to the Lord about this. I never stopped and said, Lord, what am I going to do here? I have to deal with problems when they come up and issues and solve problems each and every day. And sometimes I just plow into the day. Very often I just plow into the day and it's like, oh, I got to deal with this. Oh, I got to deal with that. I got this to do. And now I'm going to figure that out. What are we going to do about this? And like, well, whatever happened to Lord, I need you to guide me. I need you to help me with this. Just ask. Ask wisdom. It said he gives that verse, that passage in James says that God won't just give you wisdom, but he gives it liberally, generously. He wants to give us this wisdom. There's a couple more. I'll just give them quickly because we're in the last 2 minutes here. I would say cultivate relationships that can help you. This was the other point that was brought up. Cultivate relationships that can help you. How many of you know there are certain people in your life that, you know, you are there for them? And I don't want to get this off into a tangent, but there are people in our lives that we are there for them and we need to be there for them. But they are not building anything into our lives. Do you know what I'm talking about there? Now, I'm not talking about toxic people. There are people that are just, they're just there to bring us down. I'm talking about there are people in our lives that you are there for them and you need to be there for them. And God has called you to be there for them. But then what happens is, the question is, who is building into your life? And what relationships do you have with people that are strengthening you? I was super encouraged. It's funny because a few things happened in the last few days. I heard this lesson. And then I was sitting down I had a really busy week, and we have our early morning prayer meeting here. A lot of men will get together. And sometimes I'll go to breakfast with some of the guys afterwards. And I just sat there. I had breakfast. That day it was a smaller group. I had breakfast with my dad. and with Mr. Thompson, and we just sat there and talked about things. And I'm getting ready to, before I was getting ready to leave, I just stopped and I thought for a minute, you know, I said, these are people in my life, and I thought this wasn't something afterwards, I'm sitting there at the table thinking this very thing. I thought, these are people in my life who, they're not in my life because they want to get something from me. Isn't life like that so much? You go to work and you are a unit of production. Let's face it, in a lot of ways, in work, you're a unit of production. You serve a purpose. And when you cease to serve that purpose, what happens to your work relationship? It's terminated one way or another. And I know lots of companies, the one I work for, there's a lot of emphasis on team building and a family kind of atmosphere at work and all of that. But let's just face it. At the end of the day, all of us know the cruel, hard fact of life. If you cease to be that valuable unit of production, what happens to that wonderful team and family that you were part of at work? It's gone. Now, I don't have the speech in my pep talks at work, you know, with staff or anything like that. But it's true, though. We know it in the part of. Let's never let the body of Christ become that kind of a relationship. Let's never view people as, well, what does this person do for me? In fact, the apostle said, but by look, it says in the scripture, by love serve one another. But to have relation, and that's a wonderful thing about a healthy church, is that we can look for, we can find relationships where we are not valued because of what we bring to the table, but we are valued in Christ. That's how Christ accepts us, not for what we bring. We have nothing to bring Him. He accepts us because of His great love, wherewith He loved us. And those are relationships we need to have in our families. Never let your relationships, your marriages, your relationships with your kids, never let them become those where, like a cost versus value kind of relationship, an exchange of an economic exchange. That's what most of our world has been reduced to. But as Christians, we've been called into a true relationship with our King Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Father. We're called into true relationship with Him, and then He teaches us how we can have those same relationships with one another. And the scriptures also say that if you want to have friends, you have to show yourself to be what? Friendly. And friendliness goes beyond just a handshake and a hello. You know what I mean by that. So we can choose to be stressed or we can choose worship. We can choose how we're going to respond and remember His goodness and give thanks in the circumstance, ask for His wisdom and cultivate these healthy relationships. There's more that we could say, but I hope that's encouraged you. I hope you can just kind of tuck that away, think about it, and let it just change your perspective as we go into these next few days. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the few minutes that we've shared this morning. I thank You for Your Word and how it ministers to our souls. I pray for somebody here this morning, Lord, that might be just feeling a lot of weight today. They might be carrying a heavy burden. But I pray that they would experience the fullness of Your grace this morning. I pray that today, as a church, we would manifest love to one another and love for You. Lord, as we get ready to have our main service, I pray for the kids as they come up and sing, and I pray for our choir. I pray, Lord, for the preaching. I pray that as we sing these Christmas carols today, that it would just all lift up and magnify Your precious and holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things.